The movies are back, baby, and if you're looking for a weekly podcast to keep up with all the new releases and all the hottest news and rumors coming out of Hollywood, check out Movies, Baby, with 5 Y's. Is Emma Stone on track for greatest actress of all time?
What's the best Godzilla movie of all?
What's up with John Cena?
Love Lies Bleeding? We'll take more where that came from.
What movie should have won Best Picture at this year's Oscars?
Hint. The name of 2 months, and they ain't close together.
Those are just some of the topics we've discussed on recent episodes of Movies, Baby. Every week on Movies, Baby, Forever Dog co-founders and lifelong movie fanatics Brett and Joe break down the hottest movie news, review the latest releases, shout out forgotten classics, and prophesy the future of Hollywood. You can listen to Movies, Baby, wherever you get podcasts, and you can watch Movies, Baby live every Thursday night on YouTube at Movies, Baby with 5 Y's. Movies, Baby!
Okay, everybody, are you ready? Do you like this voice?
I don't know who this is.
To do some acting challenge?
Come on, it's an acting challenge. We got Saint doing a smoker's voice. We got Dali doing Jennifer Coolidge. We got me being a cunt. Welcome back to Sloppy Seconds. Enjoy this episode. I'm frozen and Dipper doesn't know what's going on.
Remember the last time Meatball did acting, she did a bunch of Cher impressions. So that's what we'll be judging them against this week as the monsters get into their Exorcister acting challenge.
With special guest Peaches Christ, and I was so excited to see Peaches. So,
and you know who's on our show? Landon Sider!
Ooh, ah!
Forever Dog.
When your first choice is a big old bus,
you turn around and boom, you end up with us.
Hello, Fuglies. We are the
Goulash Ghouls.
And welcome to Spooky Seconds.
That's right, we're back with another...
Back again.
Dragula recap, and we have an extra special spooky guest with us today.
From Dragula Season 3, the crowned king of this season, we have... Landon Sider!
Ah!
Welcome
for you.
Back to the podcast.
Yes, yes, we're so happy you're back with us.
I'm excited to be back too.
And fresh off your cameo last week as a judge,
yes,
on Dragula Season 4.
Agreed. You were more than welcome to tell me how great I looked.
You looked great. You talked about it all the time. You looked incredible.
Yes. Thank you.
The crown looks appropriate.
Yeah,
it looks at home on your head.
It does. It fits very well.
What was it like being back, like, but on like the other side?
So refreshing to not have that, like, all of that total stress and pressure on you. Like, there was still pressure because it's still that hurry up and wait, you know, type of thing. And,
right.
But still, way, way different. I enjoy this version a lot more.
Did you recognize anyone? Like, just from being out in the world and then you saw them come back? Obviously, Saint and Dali, of course.
But... yeah, and Hoso and Sigourney. Zabaleta was new to me, but okay. I was like instantly, like we talk about, performances are so strong in this competition, and that really won me over for her. Yeah.
That's amazing. That's you got to shoot that Dali shot. Meatball's been waiting.
I wanted that. I would pay the troll toll. Was,
yes.
I was like, yes, I
well,
would.
Depending on what the punishment was, maybe I wouldn't. Oh. Yeah, there was a lot of flirting with me shooting my shot with Dali, like, over and over again, but that was the only one that got edited.
It was good. It was good. Okay, so we're going to dive in here to the recap. So quickly, just for anyone who is, you know, tuning in for the first time, last
week,
first of all, go back.
Odd choice.
Yeah.
Go on Shudder, watch the show, then start at episode one. But
so there's
if you're
people
just
that
here,
told me that they aren't watching the show and that we're the only way that they're keeping up with what's happening.
Oh,
which
that's
I think
sacrilegious.
Is not the best.
It is sacrilegious.
No.
I think that's not a good option.
I will say, there are some podcasts that I listen to religiously that, like, talk about Housewives or talk about Survivor. And, like, I don't watch those shows, and I still enjoy listening. So if you're one of our listeners who's like that, shout out to you. But go watch also, Dragula. It's a
yeah,
fucking
this is
great
a small
show.
Platform show. Like Survivor and like Housewives are huge and make right. billions of dollars. Fucking get your 7-day free thing and then pay for like a month. It's really yeah. yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm gonna say something. If you try to cancel your subscription to your 7-day subscription and say under the reasons it says why, and you say because Dragula is uploaded weird, they'll give you a free month.
Ah, see? Tricks.
What if you write why and you write, it's too scary.
It's too
Shutter's too scary. Shutter's too scary.
There's too many ghosts and monsters on this app.
It's spooky.
Okay, so what I was gonna say. So last week after the monsters had their Kumbaya apology circle in the boudoir, the floor show challenge was being a fully realized hairy monster on the runway. And the categories that were prompted were scary, campy, funny, or serious. And unfortunately, Sigourney's pin-up werewolf and Jade's attempt at a Krampus landed them in the extermination challenge, and the roaches proved to be too much for Miss Jade Jolie, and she went home.
Yes.
So that's where yep. we're at.
That's where we're at.
And I want to say, before we get back into it, last week I said, I feel like production intervened and told them all to apologize to each other or like had a kumbaya moment with them. And so this week I listened to the Boulez hour and a half long recap of the first six episodes.
Oh, yeah.
We'll say there's no ads. Well, there's two ads and it's just for their tour. And so,
why does that matter?
It's just an hour and a half. So they they mentioned that production did have a sit down with them and told them, like, let's be nice, let's go through what's going on, let's everyone open up. And then they showed them the video of the Meet the Monsters thing because it was finished and edited at that time. Mm-hmm. And it changed all of their
promo.
Yeah. They showed them that, and I think it made it real for them.
They saw Betty with that chainsaw and that teddy bear, and they said, I guess kumbaya.
So there was an intervention, basically. And I do think showing them that, like thinking about it that way, it's like, oh yeah, to them, they're just in this competition. No one knows they're there. Nothing matters. But then seeing that trailer must have sent them.
Oh yeah, for sure. Something similar like that happened to us too. It was like a second or third episode where they sat down and they played the Meet the Monsters for us, like a rough draft cut. And we were all just gagged and super like inspired to keep working hard.
That's cool. Wow. I mean, it's so interesting because in a lot of, I feel like some of the boudoir talk, but maybe it's more like on Twitter now, a lot of the contestants are like, you know, we're all friends. We have an undying connection. Like this was such a special moment to share together. And I think inside of it, they, you know, it's easy to lose sight of that. But seeing that promo, you're like, this is huge. And they will talk about it, but you know, Hoso sort of brings that up in the cauldron at the end of this episode, that everyone on the show is like really, you know, putting their stamp in the history of like drag performance.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that's great. So this week's episode starts with a small church and Mr. Teddy Bear is there. He is still looking hot and muscly and he's a priest. And that is definitely his real hair on top of his head. And then the Boulez come in and they assault him. I didn't know. They are demons and they mess with his mind.
It was interesting.
This is messy already.
I'm just saying what I saw. I saw an assault. And then they left.
What do you think this story was, Landon?
It was to definitely set us up for blasphemy, which I'm all about. I love me some blasphemy.
Right.
Yes. I think it was to show us that his costume was possibly rented because they didn't just rip it off of him. They were being very careful. They were being very careful with the removal of the buttons.
Yeah, it was like central. Also, let me tell you, the most muscly priest I have ever seen.
Yeah.
Popping out of every seam of that shirt. Honey, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, if the priest looked like that.
All of it. Yeah.
Because normally there's like a narration or there's like a, you know, there's this one really was like up to interpretation. You're like, the cross flipped upside down and then they undressed him. But then there was no like.
Him.
Well, there was no like murder or anything. It seemed like they possessed him and then he was just sort of left there.
Yeah,
and so
then
I couldn't
come back at the end. Usually there's some sort of summation at the end that like explains what happened.
Maybe because of the exorcist? Like there's a priest in the exorcist?
We got to enjoy watching Swan ride him like a horsey. Yeah,
they looked great.
The brothers
having a good
looked
time.
Happy.
They were enjoying that scene. Yes, for sure.
So then we get to the boudoir, and it's a full spread of Dread waiting for them, and it's got all the different Dread produced movies, and it looks. I mean, it's setting them up for an acting challenge. The minute I saw Dread, I was like, finally an acting challenge!
Yeah. Yes. And they hadn't done that yet, right?
No,
right.
There's never been an acting challenge, I don't think.
What do you mean never?
Wait, no. There has, sorry.
On this season. And you were acting like a bitch on season one. You like that, Landon? All right.
So also, Zava and Saint come in. They're talking about being the top five. And I think they all know that it's Sigourney is coming back. They're pretty.
Yeah.
It's not hard to tell.
You have to kind of split up your chit chat. You know, not everyone can say the same thing because what's interesting about that. But yeah.
It kind of seemed like Jade didn't have the fight left in her.
Yeah. I mean, you were there. Did it feel like Jade, and we know that she was going through a lot of personal stuff, but did it feel like she had kind of given up at that point?
She did seem defeated. Mm. She did. I had a very short interaction with them when they were headed back down. We were like running really late filming, so I couldn't go down and like pop in and visit with them. But I did have a short little exchange with each one of them. And she was clearly in her head and emotional, and I couldn't get a good read on what her dedication was because she was overwhelmed. You know, she had so much going on that day. So, yeah.
Well, then Sigourney does obviously come back in, and she tells everyone about those roaches. Now, looking at it, we've been talking a lot about the extermination challenges because I think the bigger the show gets, the more there's like insurance involved. You know, it's like you either have to be so massive.
Yes. Well,
you either have to be so massive that you're like fear factor and you can make, you know, throw people off a cliff and make people eat whatever. Out of a plane. But at this level, it seems like the extermination challenges aren't it would suck to have roaches all over you, but you're not in a bucket or strapped down or like. Well, it's just a few random ones, right?
It seemed like a lot more than a few random ones, that's for sure. When they started pouring it down off the ceiling and pouring buckets on top of them, like, it definitely added up. You could tell that there was a lot of roaches. There were dead ones on the floor, which you feel bad for.
Yeah, I felt bad for the dead ones.
They're not supposed to be dead. You know, obviously, those are probably accidents by stepping on them. But I think it's really just the COVID thing. I think it's hard for them to get, like, they have to be at only a couple places. They have that haunted house that you talked about.
Oh yeah.
And then they have their set, which is the globe. So it's kind of hard to
and then the beach, which is free. So I mean, it makes sense
COVID
that they
free.
Talked about and they talked about it's it true. On their podcast that COVID had a lot to do with it, and
it
also because
them.
Yeah, it limited them. Every single time there's a new person on set, that means another round of testing, that's more money to spend on getting people in there. It's
I really have not been thinking about that.
And also, they said that these monsters have been through so much, it being COVID and everything, that they wanted to have more fun with the challenges this year and make them less about stabbing and piercing and all that, and more about just like, how can we show them having fun?
Let's take a break.
Ooh, girl! Oh, okay.
Let's take a break. Before you, ooh, girl, let's take a break.
We'll be right back. Are you ready to shop? Rakuten's Big Give Week is back.
Get 15% cash back at hundreds of stores, including headliners like Bombas, e.l.f. Cosmetics, and Hotels.com.
Rakuten is how in-the-know shoppers get the best savings. They shop the brands they love and earn cash back on top of deals.
During Big Give Week, May 6th through May 13th, the cashback rates are even bigger with Rakuten. But only for a limited time.
You can save on everything you need for summer, like clothing, outdoor gear, and travel.
And Rakuten deposits your cash back directly into your PayPal account, or they can send you a check.
Rakuten really is the best way to shop.
Membership is free, and when you sign up and shop today, you get an extra 10% cash back boost.
That's an extra 10% cash back on top of the 15% cash back. You won't see higher cash back rates than these.
Go to Rakuten.com or download the Rakuten app.
Rakuten.
Shoppers get it.
Rakuten. And we're back. Ooh, girl.
And we're back. No, do a spooky ooh, girl.
And we're, ooh, girl.
So there's a video message up on the main stage, and Meeple, I didn't write it verbatim, but it is a legible sentence.
Welcome, heathens. It's an acting challenge. They will be starring in a horror short parody, The Exorcister, and they have to assign roles, rehearse the script, and create costumes as a group. They are responsible for the whole production.
Also, they have to model a demon-themed look for the floor show, and they specified this can be any type of demon, but it must showcase each contestant's unique style of drag. Mm. Plus, Peaches Christ will be there.
To give acting tips and direct the horror short, and the winner will have an opportunity.
Did you hear this?
Have the opportunity. Does not mean you got the role.
Opportunity.
It means you have the opportunity to appear on the silver screen in an upcoming Dread movie production.
Appear, which could be walking in the background.
You could be an actor. You could be a dead body in a morgue.
Yeah. Girl, the lawyers from Dread said, let's just be clear about the language here.
Yes.
Because sure. You are not giving someone any kind of role.
That's a nor are you promising but that's it, Hollywood, baby. That's
or
Hollywood,
they'll get paid baby. For it. Yeah.
So the fright feat is that mm-hmm. they have to do Peaches Christ eyebrows, which is like the full rainbow caterpillar. Now, they just said the eyebrow mm-hmm. in 5 minutes because I'm sure they were looking to save time because Peaches Christ has like the craziest eyeshadow. Yeah. But very I think a lot of them tried to do it. I was gagged when Peaches Christ walked into the room.
Tell us about what you thought of this.
I mean, I love Peaches Christ. I am such a huge fan. I was also kind of hoping that Peaches would be on the judging panel same. Instead of just their acting
agreed.
Coach. But I do feel like I really enjoyed someone else's energy in the room running the show and having a campy good time. And I would like more of that. I would like more. I would have liked you to be in the boudoir with them, Landon. Like something to like, I don't know. It was great, though.
Yeah,
I think her whole time in there was fun.
Yeah. I really loved her there, too. Great. Such great. Like you said, great energy. Iconic. Legendary. I can't say much, but I'll be working with her soon enough, which we're talking about me. So it'll be excited once I get to tell everyone. So I was super excited to see her walk on.
It was just this like moment of like she feels so dropped in to herself that mm-hmm. she walked in and she was like, okay, you've got a big challenge. We're going to do these eyebrows. Then she got to play around the room. Then when she inspected them, like it was just she was a beacon, like a shining just a wonderful addition to this episode. And Meeple, I agree with you. I think visitors to the boudoir would be like really exciting.
But again, COVID and every single time.
You're
all
right.
The testing and
you're
everything.
Right.
So
what
maybe
I will
in the future,
say, it's also now that Mary Cherry's gone, there's like 20 minutes to fill in every episode that used to go to sound bites from her and her picking fights with people.
I could say that all these episodes could be 15 minutes shorter.
But when Mary was there, they could have been long.
So Sigourney did actual caterpillars, which I think was a fun take on it. I really liked them, and they were so detailed. Saint went very small. Very small.
Very small. And I love how she explained it as, I'm doing a makeup artist approach. Like, what other approach is there, girl?
You're an artist applying makeup, Diva. Like, that's what you did.
Zavaleta won, but I'm sorry. I would like to talk about Dolly's approach because that's what I would have done. Just make fun of her. Just go up to my fucking forehead.
Yeah, up to the top of her bald head, like all the way halfway up.
And then she was like, that's a little too John Wayne Gacy for me. And I was like, I don't think Peaches knows herself.
No one. Well, she even said that, right? She was like, I'm learning a lot about myself watching you all do these eyebrows.
Which is like so perfect, though, for that critique because Dolly had said that she would do Terrifier. or they would do Terrifier if they were the first episode, which is far away from the already white clown, white face clown drag. Right. So it was all in line with the brand. So it was still funny as fuck.
And then Michael Verratti brings in the script for Zava. Zava wins. Zava wins the fright feat.
Right.
And Zava gets to cast the film. Zava plays like she's going to be shady with the roles, but she's actually pretty fair. And she says she's assigning the roles based on like who she thinks is right for them.
Do you think that's a good strategy?
I think at this point, yes. You don't want to make enemies anymore.
You're
the top five.
Yeah, they've already kind of, you know, smoothed over their previous personality of being the bitch and kind of, I think it's a smart choice.
And
it's
I think she was smart to pair herself with Sigourney because she knows Sigourney is like always a top contender. So why not match that level and bring that over to me?
And, you know, Landon, on your season, most people talked about how you were just an artist the entire time. You sort of rose above the reality TV, the like, you know, catty drama. You definitely had some things to say. Like, it's not that you weren't opinionated, but you were like, I don't need to mess with you children. I'm here to win. And, you know, the first half of this season was not that.
Mm-hmm.
But
yes.
Now it sort of seems like, especially after last week and probably after they all saw the promo together, they were like, oh, now we can just really focus on what we're doing. And it definitely felt like a shift. And I think specifically Zava has been one of the biggest instigators by her not being shady in this moment.
Agreed.
It really felt like that solidified the shift in the top five.
And it really felt like they were comfortable in that just being comfortable with each other and not being shady. Like last week, it was very much really sugary sweet almost. We were like, ooh, I have a toothache from all this sugary sweetness. But this week it seems really comfortable and natural. And I don't like the drama. I'm one of those few people who watch reality TV and don't enjoy the drama. Like, right. I like the art. I like the explanation of the art. I like the performance of the art. So, like, that's why I didn't get involved in the drama when we were filming mine, because I don't like it. And I get it. It's good TV. Totally understand the assignment. But it's just not my favorite. So now that I'm seeing them just be more comfortable, it's refreshing.
Yeah. I think we're far enough in it that they're not uncomfortable in front of the cameras anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not fighting because there's nothing like really urgent going on. But they're also like, they've had the talk. They had their super sweet episode. And now it's like, okay, this is actually who we really are. And we're able to work together. I also think that maybe some of the negative energy or some of the complaints that were coming from the other contestants, they're just not there anymore.
Agreed.
Also, your season is so funny because all the gifs of you are you just looking around the room being like, oh, no. It's very like Dolly when she turned to the camera and was like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah. It's very much just I enjoy the fun exchanges. But when it becomes petty and like dumb and you're just like aching for camera time, that's when I'm just like, oh, my God, bitch, shut the fuck up. But like, well, it's fun. It's fun.
So wait,
up on the main stage, we see Peaches and Michael for the acting rehearsal. And did you love that they all kept their wild fright feet Peaches eyebrows on for this?
I did. That was perfect. So
it made
good.
It harder for me to imagine these characters because they were all Peaches Christ.
Sure.
Peaches gives them incredible notes. She gives them great notes and real acting feedback. I thought this was going to be like a everyone over the top, do too much, do whatever. But she was really trying to ground them in reality, which I think is so great.
I wish we had that workshop moment. You know, it's so important. It was so helpful, obviously. Like, wow, such good feedback.
This felt like a masterclass. Like,
yeah.
It really did.
She just never stumbled over what she was saying. She knew exactly, like, how to do it. It clearly came from experience. Like, this was some pro shit. This was really impressive.
She didn't give them line readings, and she didn't tell them how to do their characters. She let them pick the character and then was like, bring it back. Bring it back a little bit more. Maybe that won't work. Try something different. She let them still make their own choices, so it wasn't like they were being set up for failure.
Exactly. Yeah.
It was very cool.
This was a real challenge.
Yeah. Completely.
And Michael was there too, and Michael probably gave some good feedback too, but they were just highlighting Peaches because Michael's very involved in Dragula.
Yes.
Like he's actually, if I'm not mistaken, the director that directs all of the opening and the execution scenes.
Oh, okay.
Well,
we need to have a conversation. Very involved. Yeah.
And he also wrote this, the Exorcister mm-hmm. scene.
Yeah, he's yeah. written the previous, he wrote the Dungeons & Dragons scene too. Yeah.
Gotcha. Oh, see, Meatball, the Dungeons & Dragons
that
scene.
Was
remember
the
that?
Acting one.
That
I was remembering it because one. You were in all that armor, the foam armor that was
the
so,
purple, yeah, uh-huh. barbarian elf. So which, you know, there's so much to say about it because they got this workshop, which is great. And it totally made me jealous because there were things that like, I was trying to do and would ask and like, oh, can I do it like this? And they're like, no, we're short on time. Stop asking questions. Oh. I can do stuff. And then like one of my critiques was like, you're not trying enough things. I'm like, I tried. I tried to make eye contact with the camera to break the fourth wall. And then I got so jealous at Zav. So later on, she looks at the camera and says, gay. And I'm like,
yes.
I want to do that. Like,
yes.
So,
that was so funny.
Jealous. So jealous.
I thought that one she thing took I away do- the full Jennifer Coolidge voice, though. Like, I really like, I wanted them to be, I thought that they were great, but just a little campier.
Yes, I agree. Agreed. I did love the one note I just do want to highlight from Peaches is like when she was talking about the gay priest, the way that she so like eloquently phrased the idea of pulling back on the like over campiness because it actually does a disservice to the idea of just like a queer person. And that yeah. was such like a smart way of sort of telling Zava, like making an adjustment on Zava.
Yeah, she says, I think I wrote it down kind of, mockery of an effeminate, powerful man. Like, don't be a mockery of an effeminate, powerful man. Just be an effeminate,
yeah.
effeminate powerful
yeah.
man.
Absolutely.
But like, my drag, that's my drag. Mockery of an effeminate, powerful man.
Yeah,
so.
And your drag is never a mockery. So you are right
I'm
in
like,
line
get it,
that.
Bitch. That's me right there.
I guess just except when you painted, you've done a Trump illusion before. That was a mockery.
Oh, yeah. That was obviously mockery.
Well, he's a mockery
comedy.
Of himself. You know what
Honey,
I mean?
He's a mockery of humanity. All right. So, Let's take a break and we'll come right back.
And So it's the next day and everyone is digesting the feedback from Peaches about not being too over the top or campy. Dolly is really in his head about applying the feedback and changing gears, which I would be too. That was like a lot of notes. And Zava actually gives Sigourney some suggestions about how to alter her makeup and to be a bit filthier and less glamorous.
What'd you think about that little moment of them together?
Landon.
Oh, you have nothing to say? You thought it was strategic?
No.
Go ahead.
No, you go. I want to know what you think. Wait, is there something I don't know?
No. Just seems like Landon doesn't have an opinion on it.
I was more focused on yeah, like the Saint kind of the irony of Saint being given the note to constantly given a note to amp it up, and then she does, and then she's given a note. No, you gotta make it more somber. It's like make up your mind. What do you want from her? I was more focused on that than.
That
really
is so true. And it is an interesting sabotage. And maybe this is something they didn't talk about because the Boulets have been giving that note, but then Peaches it's her first day. And so she says, pull back. So I think maybe that's part of the reason that Saint was able to be safe this week.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, you know, because you were sort of looking at it and you're like, okay, normally when you get the same critiques 3 weeks in a row, that you're on the chopping block. Mm-hmm. But I think part of the reason Saint was safe this week is because it wasn't, it was out of Saint's control about where to pull it back.
And she followed the direction of energy.
Correct.
Which is what she hasn't been doing on the main stage. And we'll see that she still doesn't, but you know.
Yeah, but then on the main stage, she doesn't amp it up. She doesn't do anything. But also, like, the character is super ethereal, so she's staying true to that character. But it's just like, how can you be that glamorous, that much of an angel, and like really pump up the energy? And I think there's a way to do it. I just haven't thought
about
it.
For sure. Like, you just, there's, we'll talk about it when we get to that point.
Yeah.
I think we're jumping ahead
you're
a little
right,
bit.
You're right,
yeah.
you're right.
Alert!
Lord, show is about to begin! But he.
So the Boulets are wearing crowns. They have capes. And they didn't you feel like they were like storming the runway? They were kind of stomping it out. Themselves. They were like pow, 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 pow.
Yeah.
In front of these like visuals of castles.
They had two challenges in a row, but they were wearing really, really heavy headpieces, so they could barely move. And then this one, they're like, we're free! Like, you could see that they were, like, jumping, like, skipping down the runway because they felt light on their feet. Yeah.
When the little one did that spin with the cape and then, like, dropped down low, I was like, oh, Batman, she's feeling it. She is feeling
it.
Oh, for
sure. Yeah.
I love these looks, but I've seen those crowns before. Those are made out of foam, which I think is so crazy because they look like...
They looked
gnarled
amazing.
Metal.
They
Swan really makes them all, doesn't she?
Oh, I wanted to say this earlier.
Swan, the little one.
Oh,
since you can, you never remember their names and who they are.
No,
so the little one is Swan.
The little one is Swan. Big one is Drac.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
I just wanted to say, I thought they looked so lovely in the opening with the priest with the like scarf wrapped around their
head.
Yes. They looked
so
cunty.
And then the ropes and then like
the ropes. Yeah.
We didn't,
just so that's glamour. That's good.
Honey, that's glamour, Diva. Let's talk about these guest judges.
I've seen Ray Santiago in something.
Me too.
Was he a child actor? Were they
maybe.
A child actor? They look like they... Maybe I saw them in a
I
Broadway
like,
play. Were they in La Cage on Broadway? Like, he looks so familiar.
Zipper, are you looking it up?
I am, and can I tell you Ray's age, and you will get... Oh, wait.
Make sure it's the right one.
I know, because one of them said 51, and I was like,
oh, no.
No, 84. He's only a... he's older than me.
Meet the Fockers, Evil Dead, Girl Fight. I don't see. I mean, the credits go far, far back.
Look, he's done a bunch.
Yeah.
I think
he's just familiar. Dexter?
I mean, did you watch Evil Dead?
No, it's too scary.
I don't watch scary, spooky stuff. That's not me.
Yeah.
Yeah, but duh, all over Evil Dead.
I mean
how many
he's
seasons of that
the
show?
Main character, yeah.
You're like, hello.
Hello.
The reason she's on the panel. Okay, so Ray is a guest judge, and then
Law and Order SVU.
That's your jam.
That's where you recognize not the leading character role for many years,
and
but Law and Order
Fockers.
SVU.
I remember he always played a young Ben Stiller because they look kind of the same. Okay,
and then
I can see that for
Misha,
sure.
Misha
Osherovic.
Yes. Who, honey, fresh
gorgeous.
Out of acting school with the notes.
Gorgeous.
That was some NYU. I studied in the conservatory, and I'm giving you notes.
What was the one that got me? It was like you. Oh, I forgot. Oh, different tactics. You were trying different tactics.
Yeah.
And you were like, I was like, day one acting school, baby.
Because she was told to.
It was in a script.
She was told to. So, okay, give her credit for something she was told to do. Sure.
All right. Well, speaking of, we've been talking about it the whole time. So, Ray Santiago, Misha Osherovic, and the Boulets watch along with. Oh, no, not along with.
No,
they
just
watch
not there.
On their own. No, I was going to say along with the monsters, but. No. They watch The Exorcisters. Thoughts?
It's a little long.
Yeah. I have an issue with sometimes editing is just so long. Like, they stay on things. Like, I'm cutting to the end of it, but when Sigourney walks over to go kill a Saint's character, Mother 2, it's like you see her walk over. And, like, they could have just cut it to where she was there. And then, you know, there's certain moments like that where I feel like, okay, it could have been a little dicier.
And
also,
being so long and so slow and the rhythm being so slow did not help their acting performances.
Correct. Yes.
Because watching, opening it on Hoso laughing for a full 30, 40 seconds, it's too long. Too long.
Am I the only one that thinks it's shady that they didn't, no one had real names? The priest wasn't Father Francisco and the assistant wasn't Griselda, but they were T Teen, Mother 1, Mother 2, to the point where they did opening credits and wrote Mother 1, Mother 2?
We didn't
need
the credits. We knew what was coming. We knew what was coming.
Michael Verratti, why didn't you name them?
They didn't
just
need
give
names.
Them names.
They didn't need names.
They're
no,
archetypes.
I stand on names. Give them names.
Seeing Dolly in a white face and the wig, either Dolly didn't bring any human skin tone makeup or Dolly doesn't know how to do that.
Which took me back to Abora. Season 2, when they're in the woods and they're talking about she doesn't have, and they're like, girl, this is a drag competition. She didn't bring any flesh tones. Like, yeah. It was like, flashback right to
that's
that
exactly
moment.
That's exactly what it was. And that was the one where they were all supposed to be like the final girls, right? They were supposed to be like,
it was an acting challenge,
I thought Dolly was giving current day bitch puddin' vibes with the mustache.
That's what the internet said too.
And the big 80s wig.
That's what the internet said too.
I love the 80s. Did you clock that Saint was wearing Zabaleta sweater?
Yes!
From the previous episode.
All over.
Yeah, I know. I'm like,
shady.
Also, I did love that they all, I mean, I'm assuming that those were all costumes that they brought because she just had acid wash jeans with her.
I know. So good. I loved it. Ugh.
Can I do some sexualization? Is this okay?
Always.
Yeah, go for it.
Hoso was presenting genital in the nightgown, like a lot. Bald
really?
City. Yeah, girl. Because she had
nothing.
You didn't
know Hoso sticks out on the internet everywhere?
That's true. It is
but
in her hands.
I think she had nothing on, but remember when she was wearing that little jock strap as the cactus?
Oh, yeah.
Just that tiny little loincloth.
Hoso likes to have the meat out.
It felt like the meat was just poking through that nightgown, and then she's flopping on the bed.
You were zooming in. You were trying to
listen. I was paying attention to the acting as we were supposed to be doing, Dipper.
Was I?
How about the bed broke?
The bed broke?
So it's like at an angle, girl. It's like a completely on the floor, one side down.
Dolly, mother two or whatever, hopped on the bed to like save her daughter and the whole thing broke.
Oh, God, that makes me
hornier. That's hard to stay on a bed like when it's angled like that. So Muscle probably was doing some ab work and shit during that scene.
And then was the key that Zava used that was like a cross? Was it wasn't that the key the J. Jolie
key of life and death?
The key of life and death.
Trying to I thought that was.
I wouldn't want to touch that thing. That thing's bad luck.
Well, no, she got burnt into her forehead with it.
Overall, it was a fun script. I didn't like the editing. I think that they all did great for what they were working with.
Agreed.
Yeah. And now it's time for the floor show.
Ooh. All right,
Dolly comes out in a demon in a skirt with a leather horns. I loved the look, the makeup, and that and the strappiness, but I wanted more, maybe.
Yeah, I love everything that Dolly wears and brings to the floor shows and just to their drag. But yeah, it was definitely it's the same thing we've seen over.
Yes,
over
it looked familiar. Mm-hmm. La Zavaleta is a demon sex pot with big wings that she rips off and tits and a dick.
What was that dick, though?
At first, I thought it was a tongue.
I thought so, too, and I couldn't get a good view of what it was.
Even
it
when
felt
they
like
were
they
back to the wall, I couldn't tell.
It felt like they didn't highlight the dick part.
Yes,
they clearly didn't.
There was a lot of angles where Zava was turned sideways and they were using those shots.
So the wing malfunctioned. One of the wings malfunctioned, right?
Did it?
Yeah, you can see that it completely broke apart.
So then she went and tore the other one. Well, in the judging, in the critique, they basically were like, you abandoned the wings. And she's like, of course, I was performing. I had to get them off because it broke. Mm-hmm. And then it changed her story.
Yeah.
Yeah, because she's supposed to be a plastic surgery sex demon is what she explained it. But obviously the sex is there because, you know, full body and dildo. But I don't know where the plastic surgery was other than big boobs. But that to me isn't.
Big boobs.
She had her breastplate out.
Yeah,
like,
I know. I love
plastic
that.
Surgery. I didn't get this plastic surgery. But yeah, all I could think of was take these broken wings.
Learn to fly again. Okay, but here's the thing. I loved that look. I didn't quite get the penis, but the wings were gorgeous when she stepped out. I was like, this is incredible. Yes.
I would have liked to see Sigourney add more elements of Zabaleta's look onto her look.
Absolutely, Sigourney just came out as a barefooted abortion demon. With sausage.
with sausage. She's a vegan too, so that was probably hard for her to eat.
They did mention that she had like a little issue with it getting caught in her hair, and I'm kind of like, yeah, I mean, she's a demon, so, and the hair is huge. Like, what was supposed to happen? It not get caught in her hair?
Was she barefoot and then later in heels, or was she barefoot the whole time? No idea.
Barefoot the whole time.
Yeah. Got it.
I thought she came out barefoot.
It felt like she was trying to do filth, but only really let her prop be filthy and then like her bare feet and her arms. Like she didn't let her body and her face be filthy, right?
And they had that whole conversation where Zava was like, make your eyes darker, do this. And again, it's just the same thing where it's like, it was like her Wild, Wild, Weird West look where they were like, yeah, we can see that you put the detail in, but it's not enough. Like with the veins and stuff.
Weird Wild West.
Yeah, she had the cheek prosthetics, which I do love.
Yeah, they were great.
She had red contacts in instead of white. So that was already like a difference. Very subtle difference, but a difference. And she actually was giving me Dahlia's filth look, her Baba Yaga. It was like almost the same. She came out and I was like, that's Dahlia's Baba Yaga doing filth.
Oh,
it was like
God.
Very reminiscent. And I'm like, I wonder if anyone on like set mentioned that or during judging or anything, and they just edited it out. I don't know. But it was very much like, okay. She was credited for doing filth finally, but I guess if they're giving her something, like she did something filthy, but it just felt like body paint, like black body paint on her feet and black body paint on her hands.
Yeah.
And she ate the intestines of a baby. I don't know.
It
didn't really sound me on it, but maybe they saw something else in real life.
Maybe it looked different on the stage. So
exactly. You never know.
Hoso comes out.
Now was Hoso like a business business person who sold their soul to the devil?
Yeah.
I loved it. I could not stop laughing.
It was so silly.
The personification, the handshake, the so pointing, the business of it all. Like, I was like, this is great. And then the cast of the middle fingers across the forehead. So good.
So creative. I love how she's all like drag king, but then came out as a woman in a tux. Where'd the king go? Okay.
And then Saint comes out as an angel demon, as just the most beautiful angel demon with a little blood on him.
Beautiful.
It was so gorgeous. When they started with her lit from behind, so she has the halo of light around her, so gorgeous. Those wings are gorgeous.
So
the whole
beautiful.
Thing.
Her hair, so flawless, just everything, head to toe, the sheer, so beautiful.
Yeah. Let me throw, as someone who doesn't wear dresses, let me just throw one thing out. You know, we always talk about how gorgeous Saint's legs are. How would you have liked this look if it was also mini skirt?
Loved it. Or an asymmetrical skirt so one whole thigh is out, giving us that meat.
Ooh, yeah.
Just a little bit, you know what I mean? Just a little drama, a little oil sheen.
And I think this was a smart move on their part because, one, they packed this look for the show, and two, it's completely opposite of everything they've done so far.
True.
So it really stood out.
It did, but the presentation of it was still exactly the same. Like, you literally have Dolly telling you, I was given critiques because of being ethereal. You're being a little too ethereal, so try not to be too ethereal. That word was used, and then it was she picked a ethereal look. Like,
right.
And she packed it, and she had it made, and I get it. That was all part of the plan, but you get those critiques, you go back to that shit, and you do something to it. Like,
maybe Fallen Angel. Maybe put a bunch of blood on it and be a half demon, half angel.
What she's supposed to do, I think, is, you know, that's kind of what the
story was. But it was just
too pretty. I don't know. Yeah, this is the movement. And then I love how shitty it was with the music, too, because the music was like, okay, ooh, electro, dark electro, and then it builds it up, and then it drops, and I expected her to go crazy, and then it was still like,
yeah, you know what
it
was?
I didn't match the music at all. I'm like, oh, I was shady.
Well, watch her. She doesn't have energy, and this is so theater, but like through the tips of her fingers. It's not exuding out of the top of her head.
That's very theater.
It's not every motion
as
being
Mr.
Like,
Dusseldorf in the Anne Frank story. Energy
it's Mr. Dussel, you should know, as a Jew.
Wait, what? Speaking of Happy Hanukkah.
Yes, Happy Hanukkah.
Happy Hanukkah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
No, but how do you explain this to someone? This sounds so shady. Everyone is such big fans of Saint. Obviously, the brand is, the Boulay brothers are. How do you just say, like,
time.
It's not enough energy. Like, turn it up. Like, how do you say that to someone?
The problem is they've said it every single time. Every single judge has said it. Everybody has said it. Dali has said it. Everyone in the room has probably said it to her. So I don't know.
Well, Saint, open invitation to come on here and drag us and let us know.
Let us know.
What's wrong?
She looked like she was doing beautiful work for an editorial photo shoot.
Exactly.
It didn't look like it was work for a performance-focused competition.
That's what we were talking about. Yeah. Editorial photo shoot.
Maybe she will win. Now, let's go to the sibling chat.
How do you feel about this sibling chat? We talk about this every week, but we over here love the sibling chat because it feels like the realest, most down-to-earth, most authentic view of the Boulays that we get to see. And this week in particular, honey, they were honest.
Yeah, definitely.
Jack was mad.
So mad. Well, Swan was mad too. She was like, I thought we were going to get fucking like shit thrown at us. That was wonderful. I'm the best. I'm meh. I was like, whoa, right out the gate. They were not happy.
It's crazy. They're getting tired.
They're getting tired.
Yeah.
They're tired. And Swan was like, I don't care. It's a competition. You gotta have the energy.
Same.
Did you ever feel like on your season you were getting worn out?
Of course. You're literally not sleeping. We're not sleeping. At least I didn't sleep like at all. I got like a half hour a night just because I was focused on listening to critiques and adding and changing and, you know, modifying and blah, 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 and preparing. But
can I ask you, this is a little off topic, but I mean, no, it's not off topic. It's just not about this episode. How challenging is it when you've prepared things to then apply critiques within custom pieces that have been prepared for runway prompts? Like, is that a tricky line to walk?
Of course. Because you're trying to, you know, take the critiques and apply them to yourself and your character and through your lens of drag. And so you're not trying to change who you are, and what you prepared is who you are. So to find that balance, it's tricky. Definitely tricky. But you try to get creative with it. The more creative you are and unique with that, with those alterations, you're going to pay off. Yeah. For trying, at least. Yeah.
And I know in previous seasons, I don't know the tea about this one, but they were able to go and get fabrics. And like after a note, they were able to go and pick up stuff and alter their looks. Mm-hmm. I don't know about this season.
Me neither.
But it was definitely possible in previous seasons. And like my season, which was like, let's not even call it a season, but we had a full week in between. But I was also like fully working a full-time job. So
yeah,
I
you
would
were
be
told
like,
the week before what the next challenge is. You weren't given like
I think we were given like
three days or something
beforehand. Yeah. And so it would be like I would be at work thinking about it and then trying to figure out how to go buy fabric. So it's like a completely different thing. But I don't know if this season they were allowed to go to Santee and buy stuff.
Right, because of COVID and everything, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you're interacting with strangers, and then you have to come back to this house where you're quarantining with people in the set.
So it seems like maybe they were just stuck with whatever they had.
And that's what's tricky. It's like you don't want to abandon the look that you spent, you know, 50 hours rhinestoning and, like, whatever. But at the same time, like, you kind of – like, that's what I want to know about Sigourney's look is, did she pull this together – because it was simply, you know, it was less coverage and less detailed than some of her other looks? Or was this the plan from the whole time? She just made the makeup a little more filthy. Who knows?
Yeah, don't know. But maybe the producers also can go out and get them stuff too. Like,
oh yeah,
you know, you send one person with a list of things instead of five people walking in different directions.
But here's me. I feel like you might be the same way. I couldn't trust someone else to go buy me the fabric.
No,
that
not
I want.
At all. But if that's the only option I have, I mean, I'll make it work. It. Yeah, bring me like something black, four-way stretch, and shiny. I'll fucking figure it out. You know, like, I don't know. Do it.
You better haggle, bitch.
Yeah,
I don't want to pay full price.
Better be four-way stretch. So fuck with me.
Meatball's wearing tight shorts and saying, oh, through this tight aisle here, mister.
Grab my booty.
There you go. All right, let's take a break and we'll come back with the judgments and the exterminate child.
Ooh, ah.
No, spooky.
Ooh, ah.
We're back.
All right, let's get into the judgments here. We kind of talked about a lot of these. Basically, you know, Misha told Dolly, you need to listen more. Acting is about listening and reacting in the situation. And I was kind of surprised that Sigourney's feedback was that she stole the show in the acting challenge, because I didn't necessarily think that she stood out the most.
No.
But there was that feedback. They were like, you were really great.
She just has all those facial expressions of her quirkiness already. That's just Sigourney. It's not, it didn't seem like a character other than her voice. Like, I get what she was going for, but her reactions are just kind of Sigourney's personality already.
Yeah. Right. I thought it was also interesting, like, they said that, but I was like, during those edits that we watched, they left the camera linger on her for a long time.
Yeah.
Like, long enough for her to be like, okay, and now I'm done with my line. So it was just interesting that that's what she got. Zavaleta, sorry, get out of here.
Zavaleta,
are you kicking the pussy out?
Zavaleta, the Boulets saw fear in her eyes. They said that her wings are falling apart, but they like the character.
I think, well, that was an interesting feedback, because they basically said, you're a powerhouse performer and have always been, but this was the first night we actually saw fear in your eyes, which that as someone who has been told, I think all three of us are, we get really positive feedback as performers.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, like, Landon, the moment you hit the stage, it's like power.
Yeah.
And if something goes wrong and someone can see it in your eyes, that almost feels like they can see into your soul.
Yes.
And so if something goes wrong, you always want to cover it. So I feel like even though there was harsher actual feedback, this is the most kind of like, this would be the worst thing to hear as a performer.
Yes.
Oh, I saw fear in your eyes.
Oh, yeah.
I saw you break character or whatever.
Yeah.
That's like the worst. Yeah. Unless it's for a giggle.
Right.
Totally.
And unless it's looking at the fourth wall and saying,
gay?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so that's got to be a meme, right? Is that
it already is.
Internet?
It already is.
It has to be,
Gay?
posted it.
Did you also notice that... there was a point in the action of the script where I think Zava is meant to taste the vomit.
I was just talking about that. Yeah, thinking about that.
Oh, I was like, did you talk about it on here?
No. It took a really long time for her to deliver that line. And it was
but
like
also, they didn't
pause.
Show it. They didn't show that moment. So it was a weird cut, too.
Yeah. That's, I think they didn't get the camera angle. Like, I think they moved over a little too far and they didn't like reconvene and bring it in tighter. I think it was just a production error.
Weird.
I would have liked that scene to have walls. And they zoomed.
They were on the stage!
I know.
Wait, I do want to say this. Alaska, talking about the other drag show, Alaska brought up a while ago, why don't they film the acting skits with a different camera or put a different filter? Like, not use the TV camera, but use a film camera, a music video camera. Because y'all got that treatment on the Dungeons
and
Dragons. And it made everything better.
Yeah, it does. Camera is so important.
Okay, I just wanted to say that out loud.
That's a good point. That's an excellent, excellent point. Excellent point.
Alaska makes an excellent point.
Yes.
Surprise! Alaska's
what? Alaska having great thoughts on draft? What?
How crazy.
Okay, so who wins here?
Saint wins. No, Zavaleta
wins.
No,
Hoso wins.
Oh my God.
Meatball. But there was a little argument about Hoso's feedback, right? Because remember, they were like, your character was expected and not unique. You just did an easy thing.
And then
the argument was, Misha said, actually, I want to disagree. It's really challenging to be committed like that. And I agree. Writing and screaming and vomiting on the bed and being chained up on the bed and being the tormented, demonic person, that's challenging.
And changing emotions from that slow giggle, it may have gone on a long time, that opening laugh, but that's still challenging to do in a convincing way. And it was great. And I feel like if they really wanted her to reinvent the character, that's a note that they would have given them at the beginning of that workshop. And they were guiding her in that direction to stay more true to the character. So I feel like all of that was like a critique from not being on set.
Correct.
And 100%. I think they would have, it would have had more payoff if Peaches was there to judge, because she was there to give them those notes. So exactly. She could be like, you executed this better than this. But instead, mm-hmm. it seemed like they were hearing secondhand what the prep for the challenge was and then trying to give them notes based off of that. And these people right. don't know them. And they, I mean, I don't know, but they don't really know drag, in my opinion. I mean, they're not queens. So the extermination challenge.
Agreed.
So Hoso wins, but did you notice the language? The language shift?
No.
They say when they announced the win, they said Hoso wins a role. They didn't say an opportunity. So I think they were able to confirm that her acting was good enough that she actually wins a role.
Dredd. Oh, yeah. Dredd was there.
And they were like, okay, we'll give her the role. Because they said
because they saw
the
execution was good. Yeah.
You really are reading between these lines.
Honey, I'm here to pay attention.
It's like it's, you're doing your job or something.
One might say that. Okay, so tell us about the extermination.
Extermination
people.
Is La Zavaleta, which is shocking, and Dali, which is shocking, and Sigourney, which is even more shocking. While Saint is safe, even though they just talked about how Saint gets the same notes every week. The extermination challenge is they will be taken to the Chapel of Calamity. They will be bound to the wall inside of a latex vacuum chamber and face their fear of suffocation and claustrophobia. I would have laughed. I couldn't do this.
This yeah. was... I thought they were going to be in a vacuum sealed like fetish bag that has the tube for breathing.
Mm. Yeah.
And they basically were...
But there was no tube for breathing. So
and
all
the
air...
thing could just come up because those vacuum sealed bags, you have to let it refill.
Yeah.
And so like when you tap out of this, you're able to tap out quicker. But this was fucking scary.
This one was scary.
Yeah. This is right out of a horror film. Like we've seen this technique used a bunch in horror films where they use that latex technique to make it look like various things. But that was straight out of a horror film.
Yeah.
That was intense. And you know, in reality, they only were on for maybe like 20 seconds or 30 seconds at a time right. or something. But like,
wait,
still.
Don't pull back the curtain that much.
Wait, I'm sorry, but
that's
did
safety
anyone
cautions.
Else... Yeah, that's safety. But I also thought like maybe if they turn their head sideways, they could maybe breathe because there's like just a small gap of air. But I did think it was so funny. I did die laughing when they zoomed in on Zava's face and she was just shaking like side to side.
That's all she was doing.
She was just shaking. Also, when it vacuum sealed, you have to watch it again. It lifted her boobs up. It went swoop, and they went straight up. It was so funny. But that was the best challenge this season, I think. For me, I like that one the most.
That one was good. Really good. I think it was clear that Dali was safe in the execution, in the extermination challenge, because they were giving so many angles and movement and like being dramatic
was giving,
and visually
was like
so cool to watch.
She was performing
like
the extermination, and I think other people were suffering through it.
But to me, that looks like, oh, get me out, get me out, get me out. So does that mean that they should go home because they were the ones struggling the most? Or
no,
was it
I think
because the
was
camera
performing.
Was there?
I think it's the performance of it, yeah. Mm.
And they always win based on performance. Now, I know we skipped the cauldron, but I just thought it was kind of annoying how they were like, we're all making history. You being Asian, you being Black, or you're Mexican, and you are a woman. So we're history making. Let's all hold hands in our history.
I love how they, I think it was Saint, like self-proclaimed them the strongest top five in Dragula history.
I was going to say, fighting nerds.
I'm like, okay, so fuck my drag, right? Shit. But like, it's funny. Like, so I don't really enjoy it when people self-proclaim titles onto themselves. So it kind of like rubbed me a little bit the wrong way. And especially because Saint's been kind of complainy. Like through a lot of their like interviews are kind of complaining, like, well, I didn't win. I think I should have won. Well, I do that. Oh, let's talk about Sigourney's dragger. Well, what glamour? What about my glamour? Like, it's all kind
I'm
of like
200%.
Look at me. Look, I'm giving 200%. Like, everyone's giving a lot of percent, and I'm loving for Meatball's face right now. Sorry, Meatball, you froze again. You were so good.
You know, something else that was revealed in the cauldron is Hoso talks about having cancer and being sort of immune compromised now. And I think that plays into like a lot of maybe what's happening also while filming this, especially like we've been talking about on this episode during COVID. Like, but the thing that I took away from it is Hoso saying, I live fearlessly now. And that, I think, is like a really like wild place to be. And I think so many of us live our lives afraid of what people are going to think, afraid of doing something, afraid of an extermination challenge, you know, like any of those things. And so to hear Hoso say like, I live as fearlessly as possible, it was really endearing, and it sort of really rounded out her fullness and her character and really made me think like she's a contender for top three or even taking it all the way, because they really rounded her whole story out.
Yeah, I identified with her story a lot as a cancer survivor, and how saying like you experience pain like you never would have thought, and then you get through it and you're just like, I could do anything. If I can get through that, I could do anything. Yeah, and it's really like it's the boost in your confidence of being able to handle whatever the world throws at you. Because when you literally facing death and the only thing is to go through pain to not die, you're, of course, every extermination challenge, I went into the competition saying, if I have to do anything crazy, it's this mantra, it's temporary, it's temporary, it's temporary. And that comes from that kind of battle too.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Yeah, she had a great story. It's almost as if she didn't win that challenge, you would have thought like, uh-oh, are they getting rid of her? Because it gave a lot of character development there, yeah.
Interesting.
And I was shocked when it was La Zavaleta going home.
Yeah.
That was crazy to me.
Yeah, it was especially
because Sigourney sat in that chair and was like, well, Zavaleta's not going home. Uh-huh. And I don't see Dali going home. I guess I'm going home. I mean, I don't want to go home, but maybe I'm going home. And I was like, you said that out loud? Like, don't say that out loud. Like, no. Don't even give them the sound bite. Like, that's not it.
Yeah.
So what did you think about Zavaleta getting the chop and how she got the chop?
Long.
Well, I do love that like they finally had an extermination challenge where we didn't know who it was immediately.
Yes.
You know, they kind of, but then once you see there was no boobs, you're like, okay, well, it's not Sigourney.
Yeah.
And then so it's either Dolly or Zavaleta. I thought that was a nice kind of reminiscent to like the traditional Dragula exterminations.
Yeah.
And you only see their hands, you know, like.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't like a full thing until you see their body a little bit more, but it was kind of like, oh, it's a little bit more old school Dragula. I like that.
I mean, I thought it was one of the better death scenes.
And
they she was really
let her act
acting.
How, like they gave her a horror film ending.
They did. They gave her a fucked up angle. That angle was
a low angle on a round face.
That was
how
a
rude.
Fucked up angle. No. For sure.
Wait, but can I just throw this out here? Why wasn't Mr. Teddy Bear being possessed?
He was booked that day. He had
by
to shoot an OnlyFans.
Totally.
Why wasn't it him possessed?
He was railing
like,
someone that
he
day.
He had been, they stripped him down to his underwear, they possessed him, and then he went out to murder people on behalf of them. I think Zava would have appreciated that.
Yes.
I would have appreciated that. I'd like to murder me. Me, Teddy, and Dolly. One
we
room,
didn't...
no rules.
Thank
no.
you for finally giving the us the sexual desires that you give in every episode. Finally giving it to us, Meatball. I love the blasphemy. I love the flipping over the crucifix. I was like, yes, flip it over. I was yelling on my TV.
And then they put the upside down cross under the forehead. Uh-huh. I thought it was great. I'm kind of sad to see Zavaleta go, because out of all of them, I feel like they have had the largest character arc.
Yeah.
Starting as like a bitch, then you finding out about their family and why they are the way they are, apologizing and maturing and making up with everybody.
Right.
But I guess it was time for that story to be done.
And it's kind of nice to see in a reality competition where they didn't purposely keep the villain into the top three. Like you usually see, they keep these, you keep the underdog, you keep the hero, you keep the villain. And then everyone always ends up being one of those archetypes. But it was nice to be like, oh, you actually got rid of the villain, like character, quote unquote villain. Yeah. What else? I was going to say. I love how they usually use a crucifix to actually suffocate her. Something within the universe of that story.
Yeah.
It wasn't like a rock on a beach. I was so bothered.
That
by
was
that
part time. Of the story though. That was
a rock on a beach, girl. We have surfboards. You have surfboard blades.
Oh,
like
surfboard.
Be creative with the when they killed off Violencia, they used a hammer. Fucking use a meat tenderizer. Like, yeah. So many things. I was like, why are you missing these opportunities? But they actually use a crucifix. So I love
Do you
it.
Remember when their thing was that their nails were so sharp that they could cut through anything?
Oh, yeah.
That, but, like, use the nail again. That was
fun.
Yeah, that was fun.
I love
that. Was when they were limited to only having their hands. And I think that's when they were getting creative with it.
Did you see the TikTok of the person with the bugles on their finger doing the hand choreography?
Oh, I love it.
I'm not
amazing.
Here to judge your drag. I'll send it to you. It's so funny.
It's very perfect.
Yeah, it, like, drag does always it. Does the same thing. She, like, she does this thing with her little fingers every time. Yes. It's really like,
They're very hand acty.
Okay. Oh, yes.
Archie, you got to stop. Okay. Well, thank you. That brings us to the end of the episode. Is there anything else you want to say about these contestants now that we have a top four? Who do you think is going to win?
I want to know who you think is going home next week.
Who is going home next week?
Saint.
I don't think they're going to get rid of Saint. They brought her back. This is the third time on the show. They must love her. They can't send Dolly home.
So then,
I mean, I think it depends on the layout of the who wins.
Oh, yeah.
Because Hoso winning a third one is kind of like the odds are not in that favor. So I think, yeah. If we're going by, Hoso obviously will stay because they won two, depending on who won the other one, second one. I think it'll depend.
Oh, yeah.
On,
I guess it comes down to the challenge or to the runway floor show.
Who would you be if you were a demon?
Oh, who would I be?
You got a demon look.
Oh, come on, Meatball.
I can't think.
The demon twink?
I'd be the demon twink.
Come on!
That didn't exist at the time.
It didn't exist at the time.
I don't know. I haven't even thought about it, but I think I definitely would have done probably, like, I don't know. I don't know.
What would you do, Landon?
I would probably go home.
I have a new character that I haven't quite fleshed out yet, but it's to Nick Cave's Red Right Hand, and it's about a priest character, like, coming out and stripping down to having blood and being like the real demon is humanity and not really just religion. It's about the person underneath the religion type of thing. Because I'm not a religious person at all, like. I love the blasphemy in here. I live for it. I do a lot of that shit in my drag. But I think it would be kind of like that, but exploring the demonic element, like that traditional Catholic demon, tear away, turn around, something, reveal.
See, that's smart.
That's smart. I was just thinking maybe like a human possessed, like very like Exorcist, but sluttier, hornier.
Oh. I really like the like, I like what Hoso did, like the idea of like capitalism or doing something like, you know, some sort of large scale global political statement inside of the idea of demon. Just dress up like Jeff Bezos or something like that.
Daddy yes. Bezos? You can't call Daddy so Bezos good. A demon. He sponsors the pod.
You're right.
Okay.
We want to thank
you, Landon.
I'm so happy to be here. This is fun. I love listening to your podcast.
You thanks for listening.
Thank you
We're
for
so
listening.
Happy to see
thank you,
you
for being here and available. Where can everyone find you?
Available.
What a weird thing to say.
Awake on 11 o'clock on a Tuesday.
Saying, a lot of people are saying no. You know,
just gotta, that's true.
That's unfortunate. They don't have a good time. You can find me on all social media platforms, Landon Cider. You can find me on Cameo, Landon Cider, especially for the holiday and Hanukkah gifts. And you can find me on Venmo and PayPal. Landon
Cider. I love it. We love to see it.
And sooner or later, you'll hear about my project with Peaches Christ. So keep an eye out. Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. Well, as always, thank you to everyone for listening to Spooky Seconds. We'll be back next week with another recap. There's only 3 episodes left of season 4.
How crazy.
That reunion episode is going to be shit show. I love it.
Which one is the reunion episode? 10?
The final
Nine?
One.
The one before final.
Oh, the one right before the final one. Yeah, mm-hmm. The Last Supper.
See, Landon knows.
It was weird because on their little podcast, they're not sponsored by Jeff Bezos. On their little podcast, they were talking about the Last Supper, and they're like, "Well, it hasn't happened yet." And then later, Jack was like, "So you guys are going to see it, the Last Supper? So it has happened." So
they meant it hasn't aired yet, right?
No, yeah. I think that they. Well, okay. It seemed like they were trying to say that they had a film.
It doesn't
matter. I'm not trying to say they were liars.
Do you think that they can afford to fly fucking Hoso back from South Korea just to record one episode of the
they
Last
Supper? They have $100,000 to give us a prize. I don't know what they're making.
Oh my God. We need to stop. We need to be out of here. Okay. Bye.
Doodle doo doo. Forever dog. To listen to Sloppy Seconds ad-free and one day early, sign up for Forever Dog Plus at foreverdogpodcast.com/plus.
Sloppy Seconds is produced by Forever Dog and Moguls of Media, a.k.a. Mom.
Hosted by Big Dipper and Meatball. Music, editing, and sound design by William Pitt.
Executive produced by Willem Belli, Alaska Thunderfuck, Joe Cilio, Brett Boehm, and Alex Ramsey.
Our artwork was drawn by Christian Cimarroni.
And our theme song was written by Mike Malarkey.